We desire your prayers this morning. We just have some thoughts on our heart that the Lord seemed to just impress it upon us just all of a sudden. We had many other, I have several other directions. I felt like that the Lord might be leading, and then he just turned it and sent us in this direction, and we desire the Lord to bless and anoint it. And we want to start with 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and we want to read verses 17 and 18 and then part of 21. And Paul said here, "For Christ sent me to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Another place, Paul mentioned how that he did not preach with enticing words of men's wisdom. I'm thankful for the wisdom of God that not only places the members in the body, but we have such faith and confidence. We have we've grown up with this. We have witnessed it over and over down through our lives. And I believe that all of you have witnessed also that what we hear in the messages is not man's wisdom. It is not wisdom of words. It is anointed of the Spirit. It's a calling. It has a purpose that goes beyond just intellect. And so Paul is saying here that he was called to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And then we skip down to the last part of 21. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So this morning we come to you without wisdom of words, though we seek for wisdom. I am thankful for the scripture, and I've said it many times. I still use it in my prayers, encourage you to also seek for it. Where it was the prophecy of Christ that said that he would have the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of God. And when the Lord opened that up to me many years ago, the Lord said, "What is for Christ is for you too." So it became my prayer, and it became my seeking also for the wisdom that is from above. Paul was an educated man, and he was actually taught by great teachers. But when he came to Christ and when he received that visitation along the way, he saw a greater value in the wisdom from above. And he abandoned all of that teaching. You say, well, he didn't abandon it all. No, he still had some of the teaching, but he went and he gave himself to fasting and prayer for a number of years, I believe it was, and he got hold of the Spirit of God, and that then became the power of the cross in his preaching, and that it might be made effective. I want the power of the cross to be the effect of the words that are given today, believing in the power of the cross. For you and me that are saved, it's everything. But for those that are looking on from the world, it seems foolish. I desire for the work of God to be made effective, don't you? But it pleased God that through this foolish thing, he chose for the gospel to be preached. So the gospel now proclaims that power of the cross, and I believe it has been radiating down through the ages of time and to every generation and to all who seek for it. The scripture says that all shall know him, from the least to the greatest. I believe that we have the privilege of having a personal relationship with God. He said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, that his mercy endureth forever." And when we get a taste of it, it spoils us for anything else. He plainly tells us in the word that we are to seek. And if we would seek, we would find. And if we would knock, it would be opened. And if we would ask, we would receive. If we see the value of the power of the cross working in us, we will be seeking for it. And knowing God so personally and intimately, and when he invites you and me to come boldly to the throne of grace, he wants us to pursue that with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. He wants us to believe in it. He wants us to find that help that we need, for without him, where would we be? And yet, in the midst of his plan for man, it included what we're doing here today. Yes, you have the privilege of knowing him personally. You have the privilege of knowing his voice for yourself, but he also ordains for there to be messages ordained of his Spirit, ordered of his Spirit. So this that we're doing this morning is part of his plan. I believe his plan is for us to, we that are saved, we know his plan is for the lost. We know that he desires that all flesh would be saved. We know that. But he has a special interest in those that have sought after him, sought after the salvation of his Christ, sought after the power of the cross. And his plan and his purpose was to perfect you and me. He said in his word, he said he would perfect that which concerneth us. And we're not able. We understand from the scriptures that every man's ways are right in his own eyes. And you have probably found places in your own life when the Lord revealed something to you, you may have stood back and say, "Oh, that is me." As David did when he found out how the prophet prophesied of the lamb that was taken and slain for the dinner of the friend that came for, and he became angry. He judged that thing. You and I can look at one another and maybe judge each other's actions, and then maybe it comes back to us. And when he heard it, and the prophet said, "You're the man," he immediately saw himself and he said, "I am the man. I admit it." So I believe that the plan is not just to perfect our walk with him, but it is also to purge and cleanse us of even secret faults. We sometimes just simply do not see ourselves. The plan is to temper us and to shape us and mold us and fashion us. And it's for the purpose of us being vessels that will honor him and be an honor to his call and to his purpose, to the word Christian. That word doesn't always mean too much for the people in the world. They're seeing too many people that are not being what they are called, what they are saying they are. The word Christian doesn't really hold the connotation that it once did. So we go to now 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17. And it says, I'm going to just read parts of that 15. It says, the Holy Scripture are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The Holy Scriptures is what we need. And then the next verse is very familiar to us. It says, all Scripture is profitable. By inspiration of God. God ordered the Word of God, and it is now so available to you and me. The inspiration of God rests upon the Word of God. And it says, all Scripture, and I added that part, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for inspiration in righteousness. So, when God gave His Word by the inspired, by men, old men, that were able to receive it, able to record it, it is now for you and me to pick up and read whenever we wish. We can study it. The Scripture says, study to shew thyself approved unto God. And so it becomes profitable. Profitable in the doctrine. You know, doctrine is the teachings of the Word of God. I like to think of it as the mind of God, how He looks at things, His judgment of things. The balance of His judgment is then given to you and me for us to come to it. Thank the Lord. And it's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction and for instruction in righteousness. And the last verse there says the reason why is that man, and we could change that word man and say children, that the children of God may be perfect. We are all just children this morning. We may be grown up adults, but we're still just children in the sight of God. We're His children. But He wants you and me to be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We want to go now to Psalms 138 and 8. And it says that the Lord will perfect everything that concerneth you, which I quoted a little bit ago. But it ends with this. Forsake not the works of thine hands. Do you want the Lord to still work with you? Yes. You want Him to work with you every day? Do you come before Him, Lord, and say, Lord, I want You to search me? We've been saying this for some time. Lord, search me and try me and see if there is any wicked way in me. As you and I come down to either the close of our life or the close of this age, we need the Spirit of the Lord to look in our hearts. Because the Word of the Lord says He knows our thoughts afar off anyway. He knows the intentions of our heart. Whether we ask Him to or not, He knows it all. And He knows how to help us. So I want Him to not forsake the works of His hands. That's His plan. So for the remaining part of this little message this morning, we're going to consider this, the profit of correction. From Hebrews, the 12th chapter, there are some scriptures that we want to look at, and we'll just give you part of the meaning of it. It's, the scripture there says that you and I have natural fathers that have corrected us. It says that they corrected us after their own pleasure. I don't think that it was meaning that they just thoroughly enjoyed correcting us and punishing us and disciplining us, but they saw a value in it because they wanted to help us as their child. And so they guided our lives and began to correct those places where we were bad, where we did wrong, They were trying to direct our lives. And it said that they chastened us and that we were, it doesn't say these words, but it's what it means. We were affected by their correction. So every one of us that had parents that cared for us when we were young, they didn't just leave us to ourselves. And the scripture tells us if we are left to ourselves, that we will bring the mother to shame. And that has a spiritual connotation also. But I'm looking at verse 9 now. And the latter part of that verse says, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of lights and live? Now we're going to compare the Father's correction, the earthly Father, our natural fathers that really cared for us, our parents, to our Heavenly Father that has a much higher plan for us than even our natural fathers. And the plan is that we live. And then verse 10, it says, but he, and I added the word chastened, because I'm taking just the latter part of that verse, he chastened us for our profit. Verse 11 says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So that's his purpose. He wants you and me to have peaceable fruits of righteousness. And he doesn't want to leave us alone and just let us go and let us be willful and be stubborn and contend for our own ways. He doesn't want his children to be that way. So he has a way of correcting us as his children. Then we look at verse 5. And it says, I'm giving you parts of that. The exhortation speaketh unto you as children. So the things that we have said right now is speaking to us as spiritual children, children of God. And this is what it says. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Then skip to verse 7. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. Verse 8. But if ye be without chastening, then are ye not sons. I hesitate to use the word that is given there. But to not be a son of God, not to be a child of God, and to be left to myself is a dreadful place to be. Just as when we are raising our own children and we see their temperament, we see their characteristics, their attitudes, we see mannerisms that will be a heartache later. We call it nipping it in the bud. We try to catch it. The other day, Ashley had to set Rowan down and do something else. And in his own little baby talk, which he's not talking, but in his own little baby talk, he really told her off. You know, that is something you catch in the infant stage. You don't think, oh, that's so cute, and laugh about it. Now, it may be cute at the time because it was the first time for it to ever happen, but you don't want to let something like that to grow. Amen. If that grows, then that child will come up and be sassy. Did your mother ever let you be sassy? I can tell you, my mother didn't. She had methods of correcting us that we didn't want to sass her again. And you know, God is a little bit like that with you and me. He sees us as children that are growing up. Growing up where? In the kingdom, in the congregation, in the body of Christ. Are you going to fit? Or are you going to be one of those that everybody has to tippy-toe around? Sometimes when a child is left to himself, then other people suffer for it. In reality, when a parent does not correct their children and nip those things in the bud, they're the ones that suffer for it the most. The child suffers for it too, because the child will grow up with those kind of attitudes and expect others to give in to those attitudes as well. So I want to talk about the power of the cross making us vessels of honor. This word correction has several synonyms. We'd like to give you what the dictionary says about those synonyms. There are different forms of punishment. Punishment, did you know that punishment actually has a definition of something that causes pain? A punishment is, let me look here, I've got the punishment written down right here. The definition for punishment is to suffer pain or discomfort as a consequence of wrongdoing. So when we leave a child without correction, they've done something wrong, and we just let them go, they will get worse. But if we find a correction that will cause some kind of pain or discomfort, then they will be willing to discipline and change themselves. And that's the purpose of correction, is for the person to change their conduct. So this word correct, it can indicate a milder form. If I correct my child, if I give them, normally I will not jump on them full force. If they make a simple little blunder or mistake, I may do it verbally. Don't do that again. And then maybe they will do it again, and maybe I will use a little stronger term. I will say, now if you do that again, we will go to my room and talk. You know, it's a little stronger term, and yet it is not the whipping or correction or the discipline that causes pain yet. So there's milder forms of punishment, and then there are stronger forms of discipline. Discipline itself is also a milder form of correction. Discipline is training, and it is meant to produce obedience and subjection. So that word has a milder form, milder way of correcting the child, getting the child's attention, and maybe at a certain place in that there may be a slap on the hand. That's a very mild form of correction or discipline. Then the next synonym is chasten. It's a little stronger form. I'm telling you these definitions so that you can understand when we come to what God does with us. It's a discipline by punishment now. Now, punishment, remember, it is something that can cause pain or discomfort, and it's for the purpose of changing the conduct. Or it's affliction. And then it says, or it is to temper or refine or purify. That's chasten. When I chasten my child, then I'm doing it in a little different way. Either, whatever age they are, whatever they can handle at that age, I administer the discipline in order to change the conduct or get their attention and begin to form them for future actions. And then there is a stronger form, and it is chastise. Chastisement is the corporal punishment for past misconduct. And the final one, which I was not familiar with, I'm giving this to you out of the dictionary, it was a word called castigate. And I personally had never heard that word. But it says that it is the harsher and more severe form of punishment, and it is for those that are not moved by lesser corrections. Well, you might say, well, what about those that end up in prison? That would be the end. Maybe they didn't heed all of the corrections up to a point, and their parents may have been trying to get them to change in their ways when they're young, and they refuse. Did you know children can refuse punishments? You can punish them, you can correct them, and they will not receive it. There are children that refuse to cry if they are corrected with corporal punishment. They grit their teeth and bear it, and I'm not going to give my parents the satisfaction that I have shed a tear. That's a hard-hearted child, and that child is headed for trouble. That child is headed for heartache. And oftentimes they will fall in with other people just like that, and we'll call it, well, they got in with the wrong crowd. We'll say those kind of things. And oftentimes then they may be in the very last form of this harsher, more severe punishment and end up behind bars. And all the while, maybe the parents are trying to train them and point them in the right direction, and they are refusing correction. Well, that's natural, parents. So there's not just one form of punishment for every act of disobedience or offense. In other words, you don't jump clear up here and give the harshest one for a simple infraction. But you begin to train and discipline and correct and work with. And then when that is not working, you go to something stronger and harder and harsher. Oh, you know, I'm not giving you all of the scriptures that it says about correcting our children. It tells us to beat them, that we won't kill them. You know all of those scriptures. We're not up here advocating that we beat our children. And especially in this day and time, I believe God will help us. But I wanted to give you my mother's methods of correction. And it's just an example. My mother was a very strong disciplinarian. And there were five of us children, and none of us ended up in prison. So the corrections probably did us a lot of good. It didn't kill us. So anyway, I'm going to use the example of when we're in church and we're all sitting in different parts of the church. But my mother always sat where she could see us children. She knew if we were misbehaving in church and breaking her rules, she could observe us. And her first notice that we were not behaving in church was a clearing of her throat. Mother's clearing of her throat was different from anyone else. I knew it. And it got my attention. Well, if that didn't work, my mother had a second step, and she would make a sissing sound. And the whole church heard it. And the whole church knew that my mother, that was my mother's way of saying, my child is misbehaving over here. And if I didn't straighten up then I got something else at home. But you see, there were some steps in there. I was given an opportunity to straighten myself up with the clearing of the throat. Trying to get my attention, you're misbehaving, and you need to straighten up. So that was her steps. Now, my mother, I said she was a strong disciplinarian. I'm not going to tell you all of the methods that she used, because some of them were strange. Well, I might tell you some. I had three older sisters, and then it was my brother and me 6 years later. And my mother had a way of working with my three sisters that did not work with my brother and me at all. Mother had lost her husband in a car wreck, and her nerves were bad. She was in grief and sorrow, and because she was a strong disciplinarian, she was afraid to really whip them. She was afraid she might carry it too far, so she used other methods. But she had to use something that worked. Now keep that in your mind when we come to the part where God deals with us. He's going to look for something that works. So my three sisters, when she would correct them, one would have to be like a donkey, and another one like a chicken, and another one, I don't know, like another animal, I can't remember. And they had to crawl around the table and sound like that animal and ask for buttermilk. I don't know why she wanted them to ask for buttermilk, but... And that was the worst punishment that they could stand. She didn't have to do that very much because that worked. So my brother and I, we come up, and she thinks that was really a good punishment on my three sisters, and she's going to try it on my brother and me, and it does not work. We think it's fun. So she went to something really harsh. That hurt. It was a real punishment. My mother, and of course in this day and time, people think this is child abuse, but my mother used the belt. And we were whipped when we were belted. We had blood stripes. And so today that would really, my mother probably would have been turned in. But it got our attention. Did she have to do it a lot? Well, I will tell you this. Between my brother and me, I got many more whippings than he did. I was a child that was hard to correct. The harder the child is to correct, the more whippings they will get. Remember that when you're living for the Lord, too. If you refuse correction, it's going to be harder, okay? My mother did something to me that I would never do. I would never do it to my children. But see, I was a harder child to discipline. And because I would not receive correction, even as a young child, And I will say this, God, I had to block this out of my mind, that she would tell me when I would be bad that she didn't love me. That had such an impact. See, we're not wanting our children to be scarred emotionally. We need the wisdom from above. My mother needed a little more wisdom there. I think she loved me. But when she would say that, I did anything that she wanted because I wanted love so badly. But over time, the Lord caused that to be blocked in my mind. Well, I come up, I'm having children, and I have a child that was probably like me and was hard to discipline. And I tried everything that I knew. And my sister said, well, why don't you try what mother did to you? And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I had so blocked it from my mind that I did not remember it. But as soon as my sister said it, it flooded me. You know what my reaction was? I burst into tears. So you see, we can be very unwise with our children. But I want to tell you something. God will never tell you he doesn't love you. I said to my sister, I said, I do not care how bad my child is. I will never tell them that I don't love them. Never. Never say that. And I'm saying that to you all this morning. Even when your children aren't lovable. And there's children that are hard to love sometimes when they're bad. But anyway, my mother, I'm sure she did the best that she could. Now, my dad was not, he spanked me one time when I was a little girl, and he said he'd never do it again, and he didn't. So that was the two parents that I had. But she did use various, I remember one time, now I'm giving you these examples because God is going to use some different methods on you and me. It's not going to be the whole church is going to have this correction. He's going to work with us individually, uniquely, that will work for you and cause you to change in your conduct. I must have told a little lie one time. Well, my punishment for that, she washed my mouth out with soap. And the next one I'm going to tell you is going to sound terrible, but... And I can't remember why she did it, but I must have looked at something that she was not pleased about. She washed my eyes out with soap. And you know how that burns. You never wanted to do that again. You see, when we are corrected, it's for the purpose of changing our conduct and saying, I don't ever want to do that again. That's wrong. That's the purpose of being corrected, disciplined, chastised, chastened, and then that final one, whatever that word was, whatever. It was a hard, you don't want to go there. So, I remember when I was working in the school back here, and I had only Velda's children. So I only had four children in school. But it didn't matter. I could not make those children do their homework. They would come back just as happy the next day without their homework done as when they left school. But I wasn't happy. I would try to take this from them and correct them in this way and so forth. I tried many different ways to make them do their homework, and it did not work. So you know what I did? I started praying. I said, Lord, I'm asking you to give me a punishment that will work with these children. And God did that. And if Velda had not been willing for me to have administered the punishment, it wouldn't have worked. But she stood behind me all the way, so I just matter-of-factly said, now this is the rule from now on. If you come back and you haven't got your homework done, you will not eat lunch until 3:30. And you will get no breaks through the day, only to go to the bathroom and get a drink. And they believed me. Did you know I only had to administer that punishment about two or three times? And it was just, they come back, did you get your homework done? And it was either yes or no. It wasn't, well, almost. It was yes or no. Well, you know what the rule is. And that was all I said. And they loved their food. And they loved their breaks. And so it got their attention. It was something that created pain and discomfort. And they changed. And so, like I said, I only had to do that maybe two or three times. From then on, those children came back to school with their homework done. So there are ways of us disciplining children that are very similar, maybe not in technique, but in theory, how God is going to work with his children. And that's what we want to talk about this morning, because all of the correction, all of the intimidation that each of us might put on each other is not going to work. Do we intimidate one another? Do we have peer pressure? In a sense, we do. We want to challenge everyone to be godly, to walk holy. We want everyone to find their place in the body and fill it, and we want everyone to live to please God, don't we?
Yes.
And so, in a way, we don't do it on purpose, but our services are sort of like that. We're challenging each other, aren't we? Don't we sometimes hear a testimony or a song or even a message and we say, that challenged me? Well, what does that mean? That means it caused me to think. It caused me to stop and look at myself. Remember the scripture. That's what we're doing here this morning. There's a big old mirror up here. You should be seeing yourself in the mirror. I should be seeing myself in the mirror. God can get my attention with the clearing of his throat. And I'll stop and say, wait a minute, I better check on myself. I'm seeing something about myself. God is not going to leave us alone. Why? You know something? You know what my mother would say? She'd say, Maxine, I correct you because I love you. And I'd say, I don't feel like you love me. We don't feel like we're loved when we're being corrected. It's like the scripture said, at the time of our chastening, it's grievous. But he's wanting to work something in us. He's wanting the good fruits of righteousness to come out. How wonderful is it when you have a child that is easily entreated? When you have a child that's easily disciplined? I've told this before, but I had 3 daughters, and they all were different. And I don't care how many children you have, they're all going to be different in some way when it comes to correction. I had one daughter that if I just raised my voice and was going to give her a correction, she would start crying before I ever did anything. And if I had to whip her, she would get in so close to me that I was actually receiving some of the licks myself. The truth is, I would get so amused at the way she would try to get up beside me, I'd start laughing, and that was a punishment. And she would say, I'm not going to laugh at my children. But you know, I didn't have to do that very often. And there's a lesson in that. If the Lord comes along and he's wanting to correct you, and maybe it's one of these harder punishments, what did she do? She got in real close to me. You want your punishments not to be quite so hurtful? Get in real close to the Lord. It won't be nearly as hurtful. But on the other hand, I had one daughter that resisted it. And when I would have to whip her, I was hanging on to one hand and we were going in circles. And again, I was whipping myself, but I wasn't laughing. There's a whole big difference when it's a child that will humble themselves and get in there real close to the
to the parent, and you know what? They don't whip nearly as hard or as long if that child is easily entreated. But when you have a child that is hard-hearted, and I'm not going to cry, I'm not going to give them the satisfaction of seeing my tears. I've heard children say that, and they get harder and harder. And then the parents lose all ability to find a punishment that works. The Lord does the same thing. The Lord has a correction plan I have written down here. Now, before I go there, I want to say this, because I think that we quote some of the scripture sometime and we don't apply it to every area of our life. You know what that scripture is? All things, and we know that. That's how it starts out. And we know that all things work together for good to those that love God and to those that are called according to His purpose. His purpose is to temper us and to shape us and mold us into vessels of honor, a blessing to the church, a blessing to our families, a blessing in the congregation, a blessing to society. That's what He's trying to do, but He can't do it if we won't receive correction. So He has a plan. I'm going to read, before we go into His plan, over in Psalms 103, several verses there, but there is two sides of God. Do you believe that? Or is God all love? The scripture says God is love. You think that's the only side to God? There's another side to God. He says, behold, the goodness and the severity of God. So God has two sides. He can become severe with you and me, but He can be good. And I do want to present to you His good side. And in this, it's verses 8 through 11 and 103 of Psalms. And here's what it says. And the Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and slow to wrath. What does that say to you? He's very patient with us. One scripture says He knows that we are dust. He knows our humanity. But on the other side of the coin, He knows how to work with our humanity. He knows how to help us. But He's slow. There are some people that gets it in their mind that God just, He just is ready to let the boom fall. As soon as you make your first blunder or mistake or error or whatever you want to call it, they have this attitude about God that He's just ready to just cut you off right then. I'm going to tell you, God deals a long time with us. I say He probably deals quite a while before He clears His throat. He tries everything He can to get our attention and to help us to change ourselves before He has to do the disciplining. So this scripture says that He's very slow to anger. He's very slow to wrath. And then it says, but, and, not but, and. I'm putting "and" in there. He will not always chide. You know what that word "chide" means? Rebuke sharply. Now, a rebuke is very different, and that was one of the things. A reproof is like rebuke. When we have sidestepped, when we have made an error in our walk with the Lord, he can rebuke us. And he may do it. And it says he will not always do it sharply or chide. Neither will he keep his anger forever. What does that say? It says he's slow to it. But when he is angry and when he does administer the correction, he won't just do it forever. He has a purpose. And then it says in the next verse, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. We've deserved so much more. But how does he work with us? How has God worked with you in your life? I want every one of you to stop and think and look back at the dealings of the Lord in your life. What kind of father was he? I want to tell you something, fathers. Our children have a tendency to look at God in the same way that they look at you. If they see you as a loving father, a tender man, they'll look at God that way too. And God is that way. Remember, he has two sides, but he wants to help us. And he's not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. He's got a purpose in what he does, trying to correct you and me. So after he has the clearing of the throat, what is that supposed to do to me? I wrote down here, it was to get my attention, and it was to be a prick in my heart. Have you ever been pricked in your heart? I believe most of us have. That's how God deals with us. He just gives us a little check, and it's so tender. I have told this before. God is the most tender God I can testify that every time he has corrected me, every time that he has called for anything in my life for me to give up, that can be correction, every time, he has said it in the most tender, loving, gentle voice. I have tried to imitate it here different times. I know the congregation has heard me say it. That's how God works with us. Our earthly parents can make grave mistakes, but God doesn't make a mistake. He knows how to work with us gently to produce the effect of you and me changing our conduct, whatever it is. So after he has cleared his throat and administered the prick to my heart, if I respond to that right then and I stop whatever it is, and it'll be different in every one of us, that's as far as he'll take it. But if he has to, it doesn't work. He has to do the sissing sound. He has to make the noise. Not literally. But everybody else can observe and hear it now. And others become aware of my failure. He'll use that to try to help us. That will be for our good. We'll be saying, well, the Lord is sure trying to get their attention. Others might look on and hear it and know it. And maybe we'll begin to pray, Lord,
would you please help them? Help them to see themselves. That's the main reason, is that we don't see ourselves. And we go on, and then he has to go to another level. If that doesn't work, he'll go to another harder, more difficult way of correction, discipline, chastisement. Remember, he's not willing for you to perish. And he's doing this because he loves us. He really does it because he loves us. And you can believe it, that he never quits loving you. He doesn't intimidate you and say, if you don't quit, I'm not going to love you. Never does that. He'll still love us. And if that doesn't work, he'll choose something else. He'll choose. And the reason he has to go to another form of discipline that is harder is because this person has not responded to the lesser corrections, the milder forms of correction, and he's still trying to get our attention. So whatever God allows in your life or my life, there's some things I think that we ought to consider and that we have a right to even say, and I think I encourage us all to say it. Something comes into your life, you don't understand? Listen, there's a lot of things that can come into our life that is not correction. Do you believe that? Because he's working with us. It has nothing to do with chastisement and discipline. Afflictions can come, and Jesus said, this is for the glory of God. So some things is for the glory of God, but there can be afflictions that is for correction. So we have to find out, though. We go before the Lord and we say, what is God trying to say to me? Have you ever done that? You need to. When something comes into your life, go to the Lord. Say, Lord, what are you trying to say to me? He's faithful. He'll speak. He'll show us. He'll reveal himself. Because he doesn't want the harder corrections. He wants to do it with the least severe corrections. Lord, what are you trying to say to me? What is there in my life that you're trying to get me to see that I can't see? Deal with God. When things come into your life, and then you could ask, Lord, have I been receiving your corrections? There's a scripture I want to end with, and I suppose I'll end. Luke 12, 47 through 48. And it says, that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will. This is a servant. This is somebody that's saved. This is somebody that knows the will of the Lord. But they didn't do it. And it says, that servant shall be beat with many stripes. He knew it. He knew what he should do. What do you and I know we should do? We know that the scripture says, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. That's a major one. That's almost like a number one. And that is one that we know the will of the Lord on. And if we refuse, and he loves us, and he's wanting to correct us in those things, he'll send many stripes. Will it be worth it if you make heaven?
it'll be worth it. I want to say this, that the Lord gave me this a number of years ago, and I was in prayer, and the Lord just dropped these into my mind, and I've always read that and thought that was degrees of punishment in hell. And the Lord spoke so plainly to me, and he said, no, that is in this life. He's trying to correct us. And I got a hold of that, and I started praying. I said, Lord, whatever it takes, beat me with many stripes, if that's what it takes. You know, an attitude like that, God loves. He wants to work with us when we are subject to his will. When we say, Lord, you search me. If I need many stripes, I want you to beat me. But it went on and it said, but he that did not know. There's going to be things we don't know. We learn in time, but we don't know it. And did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. There's still correction, but you'll have less stripes. Don't you want less stripes? But it's worth it if you get many stripes, if you make heaven. The scripture says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him that is sin. So again, the Lord is not willing for any of us to perish. He has a plan of correction. He wants to correct us, that we stop the direction that we're going, stop that conduct, that we be filled with his Spirit, that we do what we know we're supposed to do, we do what the will of the Lord is. Oh, he'll be pleased. He'll be pleased. He loves us. I want the correction of the Lord, don't you? It's worth it. Pray for me.